Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you are listening to Be the Man with the Nature Boy, Rick Flair. Rick, how are you, man?
Good, man. Long weekend.
Oh, really? Well, I'm excited to talk about it. Let's start right at the top. Of course, we are knee deep in college basketball. Sweet 16, who do you got? Who do you think is going to be there at the end, Rick?
I think it's going to be Alabama because they are really good. And, God, I don't, you know, look, it was playing good at UConn.
UConn you know, does look good,
They got those two big guys. They certainly have been there before. And, you know, I to be honest with you, Conrad, I am more interested in seeing South Carolina play. How can they have the greatest, possibly one of the greatest programs of all time? You know, I mean, like, you know, they will be in a couple of years thought of like UConn and of course, Tennessee when Pat Summitt was there. But God, to be 35-0 now? I mean, they got a tough game coming up too because they the Ole Miss team, that's what I can say, the Ole Miss girls team. Oh my God. They're playing great too. So I've been watching both of them. Thank God. Because our hockey team down here hasn't fared well lately. And just, you know, I did the hockey thing last week with the Blues and we started out 1-0 and then it was 7-2. So I didn't bring that much luck either. But it's fun TV. And if you ever come visit me, I'll take you to American Social where they have 40 TVs. I'm still waiting on that visit.
It's going to be fun, man. And you know what? The more things change, the more they stay the same, not just in basketball, but in wrestling. Lots of rumors coming out of this past Monday's Raw that not only is Vince back, it feels like he never left. There were even some reports that he was sort of running the show. It feels like, I don't know, what's up is down and left is right, and things are like they always were again. What in the world? Vince McMahon running Raw.
I didn't know that. I knew I'd heard that he was around, but I didn't know that. So he was telling Hunter what to do.
Well, listen, I don't know all the details. I just know there was a lot of chatter backstage at the show that it felt like it used to, that Vince was back and was a big part of the show. And of course, just a couple of weeks ago, I think a lot of people were shocked to see he was at the show.
Yeah.
But now
in Boston.
Allegedly, he's got a more active role. Do you think this means anything about a potential sale? Do you think WWE could actually be sold this year?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think Vince McMahon, as long as he's alive, will ever. It's just my opinion. And I don't know anything. I've heard a number, and I heard he made a price to get out of the box. And I don't think he has any desire. I think that he'll, you know, live and die with it. And I mean, if it's what makes him happy, he certainly has worked hard enough to be in any position he wants to be in. You know, I don't want to see somebody else's feelings get hurt, but I think if Vince has worked hard enough to do anything he wants to do in terms of management with the company.
Do you think long-term, WWE is better or worse without Vince? Like there's a lot of debate that, hey man, the storylines have been so good since Vince is gone. I don't want him back. That's a lot of what you see online. You're there. You're on the inside, or you have been.
Yeah.
You consider Vince to be a net positive for the company, of course, right?
I absolutely do. For a lot of reasons, but, you know, what's funny is the people that are kissing ass to whatever the situation is, are people that are kissing ass because they want to keep a job. So, shocker. Hey, Conrad, I love my job. A guy working for you in your, you know, 8,000 employees you have with the financial empire you run on loans. The guy's going to kiss your ass. It's working for you, right? He gets a bonus. Why wouldn't he say you're the greatest?
Right.
They can hate your guts, but these kids kiss ass, man.
Well, I can't wait to see how it all shakes out. I know it feels like the WWE's hotter than ever, and that was certainly.
That's all I can tell you. Was that who's ever running it? It's red hot.
Amen. And boy, they put on quite a show this past Friday on SmackDown. We saw Cody Rhodes come out and do a great skit with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And then to close the show, man, what a big pop for the big hug. But in that crossover segment, somebody who's near and dear to us, Charlotte, came out with a microphone and cut one fantastic promo. What a great line, too. When she was born in this business, she was a baby in her mother's arms, and the entire industry was built around Flair as a champion and Rhodes as a challenger. And this year's WrestleMania, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Rhodes as a challenger, Flair as a champion. What a great promo from Charlotte, man.
She's on fire, man. It was great. She's just in a special place right now. And she's a special kind of talent.
Man, how great was that that brawl? It feels like they call on Charlotte.
Unreal.
Now and again, she had that famous one with Ronda Rousey, and now another one with Rhea Ripley. That was good stuff, man.
Well, yeah. I knew there was no way that she shit canning her over the desk, and she ain't coming back. Even if that was off script, that ain't going to happen. That was great. And they haven't had physicality like that with the women since Ronda, Becky and Ashley in that parking lot thing, which was tremendous.
Yes, very good.
Yeah. Now the shit's on, man. I think she's just in a special place, man. She's in a groove that very few people ever get in.
There's been some backlash. I don't know that you've seen, but there's been some people who are saying, hey, this isn't fair. Charlotte was gone for most of the year. She doesn't deserve to be in the main event. I think that's a little silly. I mean, if you believe, you know, the way the storylines are going, hey, this is Rhea Ripley's night. This is, you know, she is trying to fulfill her destiny. The story is about, can Rhea Ripley do what she couldn't do before at WrestleMania and beat Charlotte Flair? It's not a debate as to whether or not Charlotte's worthy of being there.
And by the way, anybody that says who, if someone is off for a legitimate reason, and they're the best wrestler in the business, why aren't they in the main event?
Yes. Well said.
Yeah, I mean, in the business, men or women, that's what they do. They are in the main event. When Steve Austin left for a year and came back, did he start at the bottom of the card? Did he?
No, he did not.
Yeah, he ain't wrestled in 20 years, and I wanted him to main event WrestleMania this year.
Yes, he did.
What the hell? That's the most stupid thing in the world. What? Since when wouldn't the best performer in the company, regardless of time off or time on, not be in the main event? Give me a break.
Well said. Well said.
It's a fucking, it's a damn truth.
What do you think of the big hug moment when we finally got the idea that, hey, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, they're back together again. They're on good terms again. Now we know it's them versus the Usos at WrestleMania. Are you excited for that?
Yeah, I tell everybody, I think the Usos are the best team. I've been pretty consistent with that, and the Bloodline story has been fantastic. I think it's great.
Well, what else is great?
I'm a big fan of Kevin Owens, so. You know, I always want the best for Kevin.
I think we all do. I think we're all pulling for Kevin. He had quite a performance against Steve Austin last year. Of course, this year has been the year of Sami Zayn. Two WrestleManias in a row. He's going to be in big time, hot matches. Really cool to see that come around. Let's do a little bit of a pivot here. I don't know what you want to talk about or not talk about, but you gave me some good news over the weekend about your old pal, Arn Anderson. I know that him and his family have just suffered quite a loss, and it's one that you're familiar with. And just wanted you to have the floor here to sort of say a few words one way or another.
Well, you know, it's a very personal thing with Arnold. I know what he's going through.
Yes.
Kevin Nash knows what he's going through. Any number of people out there, and I'm just being selective to the wrestling community, but for all the bullshit that we go through, there are some things in wrestling that just are real and hurtful, and you just never, you know, seem to work out right. And it's a very tough thing to say, but I think like Arn and I have reconnected. You know, we've kind of gone our separate ways because of the company. That it all started back with Jim Herd. He left, I came back, they left. I mean, it just to have that phenomenal time in the 80s and then to see it kind of slip away for whatever reason, quite honestly, because of promoters, and then to reconnect and have a private moment and exchange texts and everything. It made me cry. I was that happy to hear back from him. Not much more I can say about that. And I just hope that he and I can go forward and do some stuff together. Because I swear to God, if he and I were when he's up to it, if he and I had a podcast together.
Oh, man.
Pat McAfee would be listening in. we could have guests coming galore. Arn's humor is second to none. I'm sure he's not. Hasn't smiled yet, but when I could tell 1,000 Arn Anderson stories of just funny things. He's the wittiest guy. Him, Bobby Heenan, will be in my memory as two of the wittiest guys I've ever done of all time, especially Arn. Oh God, the time he told Luger that if he had teeth like Luger's, he could make two handle pearl handle pistols off. Luger said, "You're a human Super Bowl." And look, and he said, "Yeah, but if I had chompers like that, I could make two pearl handle revolvers off them."
Oh my gosh.
Who comes up with that? Just double eight.
That's amazing.
I've only been around a little bit, but I heard that Brock is very witty too. So.
Oh yes, he is.
Yeah. I hope he comes out to L.A. I don't know. I saw his name on the list, and I texted him yesterday that I hope to see him out there. But I don't know if he's ready for that or not yet. You know, for me, I just went right to the bottle. He won't do that. He's smarter than that. He's seen what it did to me. But, you know, it also takes time to get yourself where you want to go around 100 guys because you'll go on for a long time for him, which is actually the unfortunate side is everybody, every time you start, you want to get a smile on your face, someone is reminding you by saying something nice, of course.
Right.
So maybe you won't make that out there, but I think it'd be good for him if you can handle that much. It's a lot of attention. You know what I mean? Because people, it was me in Charlotte, I just couldn't get away from it. And as much as I respect it, it's just hard not to have everybody you bump into for the first time. And there'd be a ton of people out there reminding him of the tragedy. So I'm sure you'll make the right decision.
As we're talking, Rick, it was a week from now will be the 10-year anniversary of when you lost Reed. And that was WrestleMania season. And you made the call.
I'll be in LA that day too.
You made the call to go to WrestleMania and be around your friends. In hindsight, you think that was the right call?
Here's the deal. I only made that call because I thought Ashley was going.
Right.
And then Ashley elected not to go. That's why I was bringing Reed back, because Ashley was going to have an NXT match.
Right.
But once I got there, yeah, seeing Oakland and some people like that, that was good for me. And believe it or not, not that many people at that, it seems like the awareness of that got bigger. I mean, I don't think people felt awkward talking to me about it.
Right.
But I tell you, I drank a lot. That's where I was Mean Gene, and I didn't leave that bar, man. Because he knew Reed for a long time, so.
Right.
I've never thought of that. It's a really interesting question. Yeah, I'm glad I went. You know, I just, it was good for me to see people. It was a lot easier to do that than it was to be hanging around Charlotte. From, you know, drinking from 10 in the morning till 2 a.m. every day.
Right.
But that, everybody handles it. You know, Kevin didn't go anywhere for a while.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Kevin is, I saw his name, but I don't know that that means he'll be there. I hope Kevin isn't.
He's going to be there, yeah.
In California. He is for sure?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, cool. Yeah, time will tell, but I mean, it's a lot, you know. Everybody keep saying that things happen in threes, and we've had the three. Let's hope we take a break on that for a while.
Amen. Well said. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break from some of the serious talk. Let's talk about something fun. This past week, you made your way to Michigan, and yep. You've got the entire line of Ric Flair drip across a handful of stores there in Michigan. Yep. And I have it on good authority, Rick, you may or may not have sampled maybe just a little bit too much of the Ric Flair drip. Is that the way?
I did. I can't, even without Mike there, I get excited for the moment, and everybody's looking at me going, "You got to smoke, aren't you?" I mean, everybody there is smoking. And I go, "Of course, why not?" But I haven't figured out just how much I can do yet before I'm saying, "Call Wendy, I don't feel good."
That's tremendous.
It only lasts for a while, but man, it's a damn high, man.
Oh my gosh. I'm so tickled at you having a good time with this.
And making money.
Hey, that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
Find out when Ric Flair Drip is coming to your neck of the woods. Go to RicFlairDrip.com, and you never know, you might be able to show up and burn one with the Nature Boy.
Yeah, we're dropping in Florida here in Orlando and Jacksonville on the 13th and 14th.
How about that?
And then on 420, we're dropping in Missouri.
Wow, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, so we're making leaps and bounds.
Well, speaking of leaps and bounds, there's going to be a lot of that tonight. The internet world is super excited about a match, a dream match, if you will, that Tony Khan has announced will happen tonight on Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Omega, who you got to know a little bit down in AAA at Triple Mania, yeah, is going to be taking on the top star from AAA, the co-main event from Triple Mania, El Hijo de Vikingo, or as people online call him, just Vikingo, mm-hmm, multi-generation wrestler, and a lot of people believe to be the next big thing. Are you looking forward to this match tonight, Rick?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Kenny Omega, that's for sure. As I am all those guys. I mean, it's a big deal to. I didn't realize till I was there, and of course, you've been too. The Triple Mania thing is huge. So
yes.
Yeah, I mean, that experience I had with Manny and Ashley was phenomenal. Yeah, so I mean, I wouldn't have looked forward to it if I hadn't experienced it. But I'm really looking forward to tonight. Yeah.
I think fans should go out of their way to see it. I know there was a big debate about whether or not they introduced Vikingo the right way. Well, there's no better way to introduce yourself than to just go do what he's going to do tonight. Now's the time of the show where we throw the keys to our fans and our listeners. If you've got a question for Rick, it's easy. Just ask us on Twitter at To Be The Man Pod. Let's do our first question here. Silva's got it picked out for us. What made you wear the headband and why did you stop? This question comes to us from Little Nate's Charles Robinson. So Rick, what did make you wear the headband and why did you stop?
Olivia just made them for me, and I wore it for a while, and then I just decided I didn't like the look that much. Yeah, I fell to hell. That's when I had the best hair in the world. I want to be different, but you know, like everything else, you're trying to put yourself together and figure out how you want to present yourself. And I like it more for a while. And then it looked, it's like with the black robe, it looked great. With the other stuff, it didn't look that good. So I just cut it out for no specific reason.
That's a fun question.
Wonder what those are worth.
Right? Yeah. They got to be worth something. Totally agree. Great question, Mr. Robinson. Let's do another one here. This is from No Survivors, the Midnight Rider. Mm-hmm. There's a pic that circulated of Rick and Roddy in a Jeep Wagoneer leaving a gas station. And her memories of road trips with Roddy in a Wagoneer at that time. This is a pretty famous photo.
You remember? Yeah, absolutely. Harley race, who I was very close to, gave me that for a payoff.
The truck.
Yeah.
Wow.
What I needed was a Jeep Wagoneer. I was such a mark for Harley that I took it. It's like when Leah, my Via, gave me a painting. I said, Leah, I need my check because I'm leaving on a red eye. She said, well, I don't have the money right now, but I had this painting done for you.
A painting.
Yeah. Carlos Colon gave me a 92 penny weight gold chain one time. I've had some different payouts.
Yeah, to say the least. My goodness.
Ask me what they gave me in San Domingo.
A spittoon of cocaine?
No, I can't tell you. They gave that to Piper. They gave me something hotter than that.
Okay, roll tide. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Let's do another question here, Dave. We've got one from Fernando. Is there anyone that Rick can think of that needed a proper retirement match that never got one?
Oh God, right now, Hunter.
Yes, well said.
I was saying that 2 years ago when he cut way back on his wrestling. I said, God dang, you got to have a retirement match, man. And now he can't have it, you know, for sure. That's easy off the top of my head. Another guy from yesteryear, a couple of guys that never really had a retirement match. Dusty didn't.
Yeah.
Piper didn't. Hell, there's more people that didn't get one than there are that did get them. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to think back. I probably the luckiest son of a bitch alive, but I think mine was stand the test of time with Sean.
Oh, absolutely.
I just shouldn't have screwed it up and gone back to work, but I'm telling you that paying three people alimony at the same time was a lot.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I don't know why I drank. I can give you three reasons.
Let's do another one here, Dave. We've got this one from Wrestling Match Study Podcast. What are your memories of the Braveheart commercial you did with Triple H on a horse and you on a donkey for WrestleMania
20? I loved it. It was my favorite. The only one that was better was Stacy Keibler in that Sharon Stone deal.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was great. Stacy's lovely. But I thought ours was very entertaining. As usual, I'm pulling the donkey. But, you know, give me a role, I can pull it off. That's all I can say about me. No job too hard, difficult, or impossible for me.
You wooing the donkey. It's pretty classic.
Yeah. How about the donkey wooing me back? Didn't hear about that. They cut the sound effects.
That's tremendous. Let's do another one, Dave. FH89 says, Rick, do you own any wrestling memorabilia? And if so,
does he not know my three ex-wives? Are you kidding? Sorry. Laughable.
That's a no. That would be a no.
I have a few things, but those went along with the alimony payments. Oh, my memorabilia. You can only imagine how much stuff I had. You can only imagine. Christ, I could have decorated the goddamn Titan Tower with my shit. It's all gone.
Well, let that be a lesson to you young lads out there. Be careful.
Yeah.
Let's do another one here. This one comes to us from David, and he wants to know, the face flop is genius. When did Rick do that for the first time? Do you remember the first match you did it in, Rick?
I don't remember the first time I did it, but I can remember the crowd stood and roared. I said, I'm going to keep this in my act. But as I told you before,
physical skills diminish.
Physical skills diminished, the flop was easier. But actually, if you do it the right way, it damn near knocks you out every time because you actually take the bump on your head. There's no way to do it and put your hand up. I tell you, we'd go over to England and Hunter would do it, Sean would do it, I'd do it, and 20,000 people would think it was the coolest damn thing of all time.
Because it's fun. I mean, that's, when wrestling's at its best, it's fun.
Flare flops.
I love it. Let's do another one here. This one comes
a few bars. It's called the Gordon.
Well, we've all been there. New York West wants to know, is it true that Barry Windham was supposed to have the role that Terry Funk had in 89 before he left the company? Now that's fun to think about, the idea that perhaps it would have been Barry Windham who starts up that feud with you right after the Steamboat feud. And you could have had a series of matches with Barry in 89. But, of course, we know he went to the WWF and did his Widowmaker business.
Yeah, I don't think that was in consideration because the way they did it was bringing Terry, who hadn't been active in a while,
right,
in as a judge, remember?
Yep, that's right.
And that's how Terry got in. I don't think that Barry would have been ever on the what do you call it, like in retirement state, coming out of retirement.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it would have been great. It worked out great with Terry. It would have worked out great with Barry. Barry is, I've always said, one of the greatest talents of all time.
Do you think that maybe they missed the boat with Barry timing-wise? By the time he wins the championship, it's years later. I mean, I think a lot of people would say in 86, he was arguably ready. Certainly still ready in 89, but by the time he wins it, we'll call it 93. It doesn't feel like the same Barry, was it?
Well, I had that knee surgery. I'm trying to remember what year that was. That changed everything.
Yes.
I'm trying to think back on that. I don't want to say something inaccurate, but he had that knee injury. And I don't know what year that was. I don't want to be quoted on that, but the knee injury and it changed his work a little bit.
Didn't that happen in 93, like around the same time you were wrestling, like Beach Blast time?
I think so. But that 93, I was wrestling Beach Blast. I wrestled Conan.
I think that was like 94, 95.
Oh, well, okay. I'm not sure.
When you first came back, you were doing, after you had your WWF excursion, if you will.
Here's the funny thing this is the funniest thing of all time. This is how bad it was. This is how bad Eric is. I beat Vader by myself, 93, right?
Right.
To win the title. In 94 at Beach Blast, they had Vader beat me and Arn together. Hello?
Yep, I'm here. I'm just listening.
Do you remember?
Yeah. I mean, the 2-on-1 deal with you and Vader.
So I can beat him by myself, but me and Arn can't beat him.
Right. I mean, that's a little less than, I agree.
Is that trying to kill two people or not?
It's not showing them a lot of respect. I would agree with that.
Yeah, thank you. It's trying to kill two people.
Right.
Unbelievable. I don't know how either one of us made it to the Hall of Fame. No shit.
Isn't it crazy? Don't you think it's crazy that Vader's not in the Hall of Fame? Like, how's, yeah, I guess I he is, but I'm saying he should have went in when he was alive. Like, I wanted to see Vader on that stage, not just inducting Stan Hansen, but accepting his place. And
yeah,
I'm glad Vader's in, but still, should have happened while he was alive.
Well, I agree with you, but I don't know why he's not. When I inducted Fujinami, I mentioned Vader.
Yeah.
Because they worked with a lot, you know. Vader was in the crowd. I don't know what.
Well, they put him in last year, but I just like when they can not do it posthumously and they can do it while the guys are still with us.
Oh yeah, yeah, gotcha.
Let's do another one here. This one comes to us from Tommy. He says, "When Rick was in TNA, who's one superstar who wasn't world champion that he thinks was definitely good enough? So, was there a guy in TNA that never had a run with the world title that you think had all the tools to be a top guy?"
Has AJ won the world title?
Yes, he has.
Okay. AJ Styles, definitely. You know who was really good? And I see him periodically, and he's doing real well out of the business. How about, because Kurt had the world title, obviously, right?
Yep.
Did Sting ever have the world title?
Yes, he did.
Of course, WCW, but not, I don't mean that. You're talking about WWE or WWE?
He meant TNA. But yes, Sting held the TNA world title.
I knew that. Yeah, I meant, I thought they were making reference to to WCW or WWE. James Storm.
Yeah.
James Storm was he looked like Arn. He built like Arn, and he was a hell of a worker. You know, he just gained a little bit of weight when he went for his tryout at NXT, but it's worked out good for James. He's getting major acting roles now.
Yeah, I saw him on a TV commercial just the other day.
With some big-time players, yeah. So he's doing real well.
He did have the Impact title just for a cup of coffee, but to your point, it wasn't a long run.
No, he's a really good hand. You was.
Well said. Let's do another one here. This one comes to us from Francis. Does Rick have any favorite suit that he enjoys wearing? Do you have a favorite suit?
What I'm going to wear to induct Wood in will be off the hook. I have gone overboard. I have put on a diving mask and jumped as far into New York City as the clothing industry will allow me to go.
I love that so much.
You gotta get it. I've only got so many times put back up there, right? This will be my eighth trip.
I love it.
Harley, let me see. Is that right? Harley, Piper, Fujinami, Sting, Steamboat. Is that right?
Yeah, you twice, and now this one.
Is that eight?
Yep.
Eighth trip. That to me is cool as that's almost as cool as being a 16-time champion.
Yeah, that's pretty rare air when you think about it. I don't know what the record is. I mean, I know Lawler hosted the show over and over and over, but we don't count that. But
still, yeah, I'm talking about being involved in the ceremony.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Let's do another one here. This one comes to us from D. Gray. What does Rick think of Deion Sanders coaching at the University of Colorado Buffaloes, and will he have success? I think he will. Thanks.
Well, I'm very close to Deion. I saw him actually. The last time I saw him was when I did the football game down in Huntsville.
Yeah.
But I saw him recently and talked to him. I wish he would have gone to Florida State. But with the transfer portal, he's already picked up the number one quarterback in the country. He'll be ranking the top 10 within a year. He's a recruiting son of a gun, man. Who doesn't want to play for Deion Sanders?
No, well said. I totally agree.
I mean, he's unreal.
We'll see what happens on the field, but we know he's going to be one hell of a recruiter.
And Colorado, you know, he used to have a good program. I don't think they've been national champions, but I mean, they'll be back in there. And I'm sure that he took a long look at it, and he was guaranteed some, whatever it needed facility-wise and all that. I'm sure he's got the best of everything so he can compete when he comes to recruiting. And Boulder's a fun place to live.
This one comes to us from Deuce Pritchard. When and why did the Kamikaze become your drink of choice? And when and why did it change? What's the largest quantity you ever ordered at one time? And what is your best Kamikaze story?
Well, Kamikazes were easy to drink. I came up with the Kamikazes because the Jack killed me. And 99% of the guys wanted to drink straight Jack. And I just had to turn it around a little bit. Can I, if I offered to buy, oh, I'm sure I bought 50 at a time.
Wow.
It was just to get away from the Jack or the Jägermeister or tequila, all of which I've done. The Jägermeister is the worst. Oh.
That's a Michael Hayes special right there, Jägermeister.
Yeah, and I've seen Michael drink a few, more than a few, but he can drink Jack too. Hell, Mike can do everything.
Let's do a fun one here. This is from Matt. Rick, if you could pick any song to be your new entrance theme, what would it be? A friend of myself always said it should be In the Club by 50 Cent. Come on, man. If you had a new theme song, it'd be Ric Flair Drip, right? Come on.
That or or the Nervy and another motherfucker quite like me.
Kid Rock. Yeah, there you go. I can see that. That's a pretty much a Ric Flair song.
There would be another fucker quite like me. How cool is it, huh?
I love that you love that. Let's do another one.
He goes, you can't cancel me.
Johan, we'll go with that, says, is there a young talent not currently getting strong exposure that Rick thinks he would have had a great run with? Not just a match, but a full angle. What story would it tell? Is there a talent out there that you think, man, we could do a fun story together if, you know, it's a different time? Cody, right? I mean, that's an easy one.
Say it one more time.
Who could you do a fun angle with? Not just a match, but a modern day talent. Let's say we could transport you.
Oh, absolutely. Cody Rhodes. Yeah. Absolutely. We could do the same thing me and his dad did.
Yeah, all over again. Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Here's one from Sean. What movie do you relate to the most? All right, so we had a similar favorite movie question last week, and you said One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Is there one that has the character really resonated with you, the main character?
Well, the original James Bond, Sean Connery. I was James Bond.
Okay.
At the same time he was. No one just ever knew it. I was 009.
You were 009?
Yeah.
Just a little bit bigger?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you. Let's move on before we get in trouble, but that's a new t-shirt. I can just feel it in my bones. Brian Daniel says, I'd love to know why he decided to use a robe as his main attire. And if he didn't use that, what would he use? And also, why did he choose the song he went with for his entrance music? So I think you've told us before how the entrance music came to be, but
That came from Dusty.
What about the robe look? If you didn't,
I wore a robe because my body was never that good, and I wanted to keep as much of myself covered as I could until it was the last minute.
What is that new theme song?
Until the last minute, yeah, gonna play that one forever. No, I thought the robes looked great, and I just like Harley said, I took Roger's gimmick to a whole new level.
Let's do another one here. This one is from Jordan. With the accomplishments Charlotte has already made, what do you see in her future in the next 5 or so years? What else would you like to see her accomplish in her career before she retires?
Oh gosh, I'm asphyxiated on breaking me and seeing his record.
I mean, you got to think that's going to happen. So that would put her at 17. Is there any other box to check? I mean, at this point, she's main evented WrestleMania. She's won the Royal Rumble. I don't know what else there is to really do. Is there a
Well,
time?
and I know I'll harp on this till the day I die. And I talk to people all the time. She's the best worker in the company, in the business today. That's the thing that people, I mean, I'm that's not, I mean, other people are saying it, and I see it, and they finally realize it. And to be 17-time world champion or 14 or 16 is great, but to be recognized as the greatest worker in the business today. If it's for one day, for two, and nothing's going to change with her. Does that make sense?
Yes.
She'll be the greatest till the day she don't want to
Wow.
be. I mean, if she stays healthy, God, that's a key thing for a lot of athletes. But
For everybody, yeah.
no indication that she's going to get injured anytime soon, and she's the greatest performer in the business today. I mean, bar none. And I open the forum up to an argument, and I'll do that with anybody.
I love you're such a proud papa. That's awesome.
No, even Bret Hart texts me, right? Jesus Christ, Rick, she's, these are texts from people that know the business.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not somebody that is going to like somebody for a personal reason or other, but people that know the business.
Right.
People say that, and she is.
Let's do another one here. This is Trevor. During the Monday Night Wars, who besides Hogan or yourself should have had a long title run? Interesting question. Was there one guy who, in hindsight, could have carried the ball during the Monday Night War era?
In WCW? Oh, that wouldn't have been me. No, I don't. No, I think it was a perfect time for Hulk. Hulk's what, like 5 years younger than me. So, Sting was great. Did Goldberg, how long did Goldberg have it?
He had a run, I think
Yeah.
after 98, the bloom was sort of off the rose. I think that
Yeah.
one he stretched a little more, maybe.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I mean, I think that it was in the right place between Sting and Hulk.
Let's do another one. This one comes to us from Carl. If you could have guest starred in any 80s TV show, what would it have been? That's a fun question.
80s TV show.
You could have fit right in on Alf because you're from another planet.
I've
You would have been a great recurring character on Cheers. Can you imagine?
Oh, cheers, of course. Kirstie Alley and me.
I
Got
think
you.
I'll see you coming disheveled out of the bathroom a lot, I would guess.
She just passed away,
She did, yeah.
Yeah, but she was beautiful. Yeah, cheers would have been great. Me and the mailman.
Yeah, I think you could have fit in just fine there. Let's do another one. This one comes to us from Jonesy Chats Wrestling. How much cardio did Rick have to do for the Royal Rumble 92 match, and what was his diet and gym plan at the time?
Well, back then I was still doing 500 free squats when I was on the road because a lot of gyms didn't have Stairmasters back then. We were just starting to get them. I went from the staircase to the 44 or to the 4,000, but I always did the free squats back in that day, which I'm going to do something with the company out in California that with this new, they're going to do, they're going to start it like a tough enough thing again.
Right.
And I'm going to, I did when I was training for Sean, but I could only find a few people that would do it with me. Tully would do it with me and Terry Taylor would do it with me. But it's, you take a deck of cards, Jokers are 20. Face cards are 10. I mean, and then the number. Turn the card over. If it's a one push-up, one squat, one crunch, two, da-da. It's 450 of each one. My record is 36 minutes.
Oh, wow.
That's a workout, man. Push-ups, crunches, and squats. And then I used to do the 500 step-ups on a workout bench with Taylor or Tully a lot. But the day of the Royal Rumble, I just been in the gym. That's when Jake told me that I was going to win it. I said, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, you're going over. I said, what's that? Now I was in shock. I had no idea. So I got the building, and Vince called me inside and said, you're going to go over. I said, really? I mean, I still couldn't believe it.
Right.
Because, I mean, I don't know what anybody's ever been misled to know or been told. But we never had a contract. He said, I'll make you more money than you're making down there. And behave yourself. And that was his most famous line to me. You don't have nothing to prove to anybody in the world. You've already done it all. But these are new friends. Then my first night in the territory, I met Sherry Martel at the Marriott in Dayton, Ohio. We were over to Hair Arena, and I got the TV 10 minutes late, my first day there. And he calls me aside and said, it's a $500 fine. I need you to lead by example for both you and Sherry, but you're paying both. It's $1,000. We always had a nice business discussion.
The good old days.
I hope he's out there. I can't wait to see him. He's one guy. I couldn't corrupt him. I tried.
Well, I hope you're successful. I hope you're successful. I hope it.
No, I don't mean corrupt. But I meant get to come out and drink. And we did one time. Yeah, he's he knows. He just knows that I'm bad news. Yes, that's the worst way to put it. Oh, God, what a great guy.
Let's do another one here. This one comes to us from Skylar Steele. Three-parter. Who is one person from your generation that you regret not getting to work with? Who's one person from the evolution days you would have liked to have worked with? And who's one person in today's generation you'd like to work with? So let's start with the last one first. Who out there today would be a fun match for you, do you think?
Oh, Cody or Roman.
Yeah. I mean, the Cody ones.
Cody or Roman.
The evolution days. Who stands out from that era?
I got to work with everybody then.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the key thing. I actually got comfortable with myself, got my self-confidence back. And when I was working with those guys, I mean, And I relaxed, and I've gone from having getting my brains beaten out with her or with WCW, and just being pointing that out again. How does Vader beat me in Iron Man a year before I beat him by myself?
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
No, but it doesn't do much good for your self-confidence either.
No.
I mean, Hunter involved me in everything. And I actually thought it was a rib at first because I want to stand there next to Dave, who looks like Mr. America, Hunter, who looks like Mr. America, and Randy, who looks like Mr. America, and then there's me. Ah. I mean, come on. But I went for it, and it worked. We had fun.
Bobby comes to us and says, Rick, what was your experience with the change from Jim Crockett Promotions to Ted Turner's WCW as a wrestler? We've talked a lot about, you know, the behind the scenes of maybe you wish somebody would have given you a heads up and all that jazz. But as far as the in-ring stuff, did your life as a wrestler change from the
JC? Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. The day I got there, my life changed. It was miserable. I had never booked. I'd never been in the office, never wanted to be near it. just a survival plan. I said, how do I survive this clusterfuck? So I get on a committee. Oh man. And then I came back and it was even worse. So thank God that that Vince and Hunter saw enough of me to bring me up there. It just really my career. Think of my career if it had ended at WCW.
Yeah, it would have been not the same for sure.
No, for sure.
Let's do one more. This one comes to us from Super Dave. He wants to know, you've told us about Kevin and Kerry. So how was David Von Erich to work with in the ring?
David was the best worker in the family. David was really good. David would have been the NWA champion and carried the belt very well. It's tragedy.
Let's do one last one. Let's try to finish on a high note, not a downer, maybe.
No, I'm just saying he was a great kid, too. He was a tremendous kid. I'm just saying he would have been a great world champion. He loved the business. And he was tall, lanky. I mean, just a real good person, as they all were.
This one comes to us from Coach Rosie. He says, Rick, AEW is going to feature Darby, Sammy, and Jungle Boy, all trying to beat MJF for the title. They're considered the pillars of AEW. You think it's a good idea to have all the young talent trying to beat MJF, or should he battle against Kenny or Hangman again? If you were booking, would you try to feature the young and up-and-coming talent, or go back to your former rivals and main events?
Well, first of all, if you're talking about making money, that's the best way to determine it is to book it and see how it does at the gate.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And from that point, you go forward and then you make decisions basically based on chemistry and if it draws money. The Hangman and who's the other guy you mentioned?
Kenny Omega.
I mean, you know, I also think you could break up the Young Bucks, not as a team, but those kids could wrestle MJF on an individual basis too. I mean, the MJF's a phenomenal talent. I mean, there's nothing. He's got a tremendously bright future. I wonder if he'll stay there or go to WWE. I don't know what his deal is or anything about it, but he's a tremendous talent. And I wasn't there and I didn't see it, but Sophia said, and she's got enough knowledge now that the match they have is really good.
Is that Sandy? Yeah, it's the best Iron Man match I remember.
Yeah, that's Sandy right there. I'd say that right there.
Of course, along the way, we're going to have some fun. Of course, we're going to get together out in L.A. I'm sure we'll have some Ric Flair drip to celebrate.
Yep. So what day are you coming now?
Well, my flight is still booked for Friday, but I'm still trying to negotiate with Casio. You got to take the day off.
That's absurd.
I know, dude. Listen, I know you want me out there earlier. I'd like to be there.
Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I demand it.
The missus, she's going to fly the coop here on Thursday, going to hang out with, as you call her, number one.
Yeah, we'll just tell her to fly out Tuesday. Since when did she tell you what's up?
Well, she doesn't, but Casio is going to tag along with me, and he's got to work on Friday, so we'll figure it out. But we're going to have fun in L.A. Come on. We'll see you next week right here on To Be The Man. With the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Hey guys, Double J, Jeff Jarrett. Need to call a timeout real quick here. I wanted to tell your listeners what I've been telling my world listeners for a while now. It's about all the incredible things happening over on adfreeshows.com.
A brand new series has arrived on Ad Free Shows. Top of the Card unpacks everything you need to know in the wrestling trading card space. And we're starting with the granddaddy of them all, the 1982 Wrestling All-Stars Series A set.
Now, this set was not exclusive to any one territory at the time, as we were still right at the tail end of the territory era of professional wrestling. So it was basically a who's who in professional wrestling, with card number one being Andre the Giant. Others included in the set include Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Ted DiBiase, and others.
20 years ago, Eric took on Stone Cold in the main event on Raw. But the real main event was the confrontation that happened backstage before the show.
Now, the next week, I'm sitting in this chair, and that same guy, I don't think I had said a word to him that day. I don't think I had seen Rick up until the point he came through that door. And he's, you know, telling me to get up, get out of the chair. He's so pissed off, he's bleeding. I'm on the phone, and he's got blood running down his chin because he bit his lip. He was so mad, he bit the inside of his mouth.
He's got blood on a backstage confrontation.
I hadn't even gotten out of the chair yet.
Ad-Free Shows members got to sit shotgun alongside Kevin Nash and Click This co-host Sean Oliver as they watch back some of the worst matches in history. None more so than the Yeti.
Randy, now
the mummy is not Frankenstein. You don't walk with your arms straight out.
With the arms out, right? You know, a Yeti is also not a mummy. But I don't know. Was it Jim Herd? Who was here? Well, whose brainchild was this?
Who gives a fuck?
Hey, that's just a small taste of what Ad-Free Shows has waiting for you, including a brand new perk, getting to join in on the live recordings of the shows with four levels to choose from. See for yourself why Ad-Free Shows is the best value in wrestling today. Sign up now at adfreeshows.com. That's right. Sign up today at adfreeshows.com.